This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. This is John Massengill, and Les Kaiser's in the studio with me. How are you, Les?
Doing good. It's a great intercooler weather, isn't it?
Oh, you stole my thunder, man. It's turbocharged supercharger weather. It's like a built-in, what, about 50 horsepower on your average V8 these days?
Hey, you know, it's been nice. It's been just right.
Hey, I want to run down what we got on the show. We got a good show considering how much of the off-season, but there's a surprising amount going on. We're going to talk a lot. The big story for me, for Austin, is IndyCar tickets are on sale. We've been waiting for IndyCar to come to Austin at COTA since before it was built. And tickets went on sale this week, and we're going to talk a lot about that because there's some differences. There's some unique things that are going on at the IndyCar event that we have not ever had at COTA, so you want to stay tuned for that. And we are going to talk a little MotoGP. They finished up the season in Valencia, and we are going to talk Macau, the Macau Grand Prix this weekend. And if you're not familiar with that, it's one of those off-season really huge events, really, because some huge names over the years have come through Macau, and there was a ginormous crash, freaky, crazy-looking crash that I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite that fast occur, so we'll talk about that.
That was very definitely different.
And we also have a Triple Cross winner, Brianne Korn, in the Rallycross Series. She's going to call in tonight and talk to us. And we also went out to the 24-hour series we had at COTA, another motorsport event at COTA. Man, filling the calendar out there is so exciting to me. But I got to interview one of the guys out there and talk about what the series was all about, where all they travel around the world. And we're going to talk a little F1 stories as well. And we're going to have our friend Sean Walker with Haggerty on to talk a little autonomous cars.
You know, don't you just wish you had his knowledge in your back pocket?
I don't have to because we got Sean on the show, yeah. So we don't have to worry
Sometimes
about that.
Sometimes he's busy, though.
All right, guys, I'm going to jump right in. And but by the way, Jonathan Green was at Macau all weekend. He was the commentator. He's been the commentator at Macau for I don't know how many years now. But he was there, and we were going to have him call in tonight, but we can't get a stable connection, and I think he went back to sleep. I don't know what time it is. It's sometime on Monday over there. But he did an interview with the winner, Daniel Ticktum. And he's got a really interesting story, Daniel does. It's kind of a checkered past, but a really successful recent history. So we've got an interview with Daniel that Jonathan did, and we're going to talk about that in the Macau Grand Prix. And so, but let's jump in now because I want to talk about the IndyCar event here in Austin. It is March 22nd, March 24th, and the tickets went on sale at COTA's website, thecircuit.com or circuitoftheamericas.com, either one. And what I'm really fascinated by, well, let's talk about some of the ticket prices first. But there's some things that you can do there that you've never been able to do. But the ticket prices start for general admission, $85. So basically half of Formula One, if you think of it that way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty cool,
this
right?
This place, it's going to be a big, big turnout. I have no doubt.
Yeah, I think I
considered the history of Indy, obviously here in the United States. People that have, I mean, I followed it as a kid. I remember Dad pointing out who were the ones from Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Rutherford, Foyt, you know, it was cool.
You know, it's going to be really fascinating to see what kind of crowd we get out there because, you know, at Formula One, what we get on race day between 110 and 130, let's say, year to year.
Right.
And on MotoGP, and 250,000 for a weekend for Formula One. MotoGP, I think it's about 80,000. These are all off the top of my head, but about 80,000 on race day, give or take, and maybe 120 for the weekend. I would bet you this falls somewhere in between. I mean, it's a
I think that's a good call. You know, I've already talked to people that are excited for it coming to COTA. You know, so many racing groups want to race here. It's an awesome facility by all means.
Well, the prices, so we talked about these are early Apex, they're calling it, the general admission for $85. So I think they're going to go up if you purchase before January 3rd. This is 10%. So there'll be another $10 after January 3rd. And then premium grandstands from 119.
Big Christmas gift, people.
That's a good idea, Les. There's a lot of people that, if you're listening to this, you got somebody that will buy you some tickets if you put that on your Christmas list.
Okay, now you know wherever two people are sitting and they're significant others of each other, one of them just looked at the other and winked and nodded head, didn't you?
Yeah. All right, so for $119, premium grandstand tickets, and oh, by the way, all of these include the Muse concert. It's just like they do for Formula One and others.
Sweet.
Now, and that's on Saturday, and so they've started. It looks like all the big concerts now are going to be on Saturday, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of these details are just coming out, but I think the concert is going to be in the amphitheater, but I don't know. Maybe they might make a judgment call as they sell tickets, because if they do get that big crowd, they might have to do like they do the big
the stage. Super stage. Yeah.
Yeah, the super stage.
Well, get this. So here's one of the things that I'm excited to see, and it may seem silly because it's not even the race. All of the camping that goes on at Indy Motor Speedway when we've been there for the 500 is spectacular. And you see it in the NASCAR world, but it's still yet a bit of a different audience here. And they're going to be camping, you know, not only out on the big RV lot, they're opening up the secondary paddock for RVs.
Yeah, and if you don't know where that is, so
it's in the heart of everything.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the circuit. It's in, you know, inside the racetrack. So this is the part that's never been done before for a major event at COTA, where you can camp inside. And I think it's about $300 a day, or depending on how you consider it, because you get your...
Slice and dice it, yep.
Yeah, your tickets get you in, I think, at noon, starting at noon on Thursday. And then you have until noon on Monday to have access to your spot. And those premium... Actually, that's not the premium. That's called the Town Center Camping. And what you get for that is a 20x40 spot in the support paddock, which is inside, access to the infield campground. Yeah, from Thursday to Monday, you get a power connection, water tank fill up, and one pump out with your RVs. Shower passes are available, and you get access to the Town Center general store and stage. Ah, there's the answer
there
to my question.
Is.
Town Center stage. So, and then you also get 8 3-day admission wristbands and one vehicle parking pass. So all of that is $1,500. $1,500. So
yeah, you know, but 8 tickets.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
$800 in value right there.
Yeah,
sweet.
That is the kind of pricing that you hope for an event like this, because that's competitive with Indy and other circuits. I mean, I know we have the greatest Grand Prix circuit in North America here, but that's a competitive price to just about any kind of racing.
Now I'll tell you, one of the coolest setups I saw was an RV and then a crew lift. You know those crew lifts they have on construction sites? They're like scissor lifts.
Oh, yeah.
And they raise up about 10 people. They had that next to their RV, and they raised that up and watched the races from there.
That is awesome.
Except, I was like, some construction company really put it together good.
I'm just thinking other people are going to get mad because they're blocking their view or whatever. But
somebody out there is dialing in and making reservations now.
So the back to the premium grandstands, they start at $119, and those are for the turn 15 lower, you know, the higher up you go.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you can get turn 1 in the main grandstand, $159.
Oh, man, that's great.
Main grandstand club, $179. So these tickets are way affordable. I mean, those are the tickets that go for over $1,000 at Formula One, some of those.
Well, you know, here's another thing I'm excited about. I can't think of another course that IndyCar races on that has as an abrupt climb as this. Now, you know, the corkscrew at Laguna goes down swiftly, But the climb, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, and you remember when Tony Kanaan was here testing, him on the show, had an interview, and he was saying the same thing that I've forgotten that, you know, back when the track first opened, a lot of the Formula One drivers said this, but he said it's really intimidating because you start up the hill and you can't see the top. You can't see where you're going. You can't see the ultimate, you know, you always look for your apex, right? You can't see it. And I'd forgotten that, but he was really excited about that. I think he said he took him a few laps to get used to that. But man, this is so exciting to have this happening at COTA. And I'm just looking at some of the other tickets. There's all different levels of tickets. Oh, also different levels of camping. So not only you got the premium camping, the RV spots that have been there forever. Those are the ones that are back on the back straight between 11 and 12. But there's also the town center we talked about. But there's also Geico Hilltop camping that's, I guess, sponsored by Geico out there between...
Over on the east side, along the S's.
Yeah, exactly.
Above
along,
them.
Along turns 3, 4, 5, right in there, back in there. So Hilltop camping. And that gets really affordable, too. I think those get down pretty cheap. Those are down to $190. So there's so nice. Many options for this. I hate to sound like a commercial for COTA, but this is such an awesome event. And that
if you're into racing and you're in this part of Texas, how can you not be excited for this?
Yeah, this is going to be so cool. And to have Indy cars running around, it's going to be amazing. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I think we're going to jump into the Macau Grand Prix and talk about what happened over there. Great. And, you know, it's really the World Championship of F3 racing is what they call it. And if you want to call in and join the conversation, call 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Listen to Speed City Live in Austin back after these messages.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Breanne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility. Online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
Here he is, because Dan Ticktum is repeating history and repeating history for himself. Dan Ticktum is going to come and take back to-back victories at the Macau Grand Prix. Ticktum does it for Great Britain here at Macau in style. He has absolutely dominated this race from start to finish. And I mean the weekend, not just the race. What a weekend.
Hi, guys. I'm Dan Ticktum, winner of the 2018 Macau Grand Prix 65th edition, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. So we didn't have Jonathan Green live, but that
gives you chills hearing that.
I know, man. Jonathan was down at Macau calling that race for his, I think it's his 20th year or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the Macau, and then we're going to hear an interview Jonathan did with Daniel Ticktum, and we'll talk a little bit about Daniel and his career. But the Macau Grand Prix is one of those off-season races that we've had huge names come through over the years, and some of the players that have gone to Formula One, Lando Norris and others of recent history. But it's part of the weekend. You've got GT racing, you've got motorcycle racing, and the Formula 3 championship, kind of the world championship, that's what they call it, because
right.
it's not, it is an FIA certified race, so I guess that's what it is. But it is really the best of the best in Formula 3 racing from around the world.
I honestly don't know of any other race that combines all of those genres, if you will, motorcycles, cars, open wheel, on the same weekend.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it really is. That's true. And if you don't know about Macau, the city, it's like the Asian Vegas, but it's like Vegas on steroids, apparently.
I heard it is over 5 times the revenue annually as Las Vegas.
That's pretty crazy if you think about it, because how much money goes through Vegas and it's 5 times that?
Well, I was talking to somebody else. It was related to the F1. You know, where else will F1 go? And they said, hey, Macau shuts down the streets. Why can't Vegas do that? And it was like, good point. You know, maybe it has something to do with that 5 times revenue and that it's actually the government behind that they put the race on themselves. It's not a private entity. So
yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. Who knows?
Yeah, that's just like a lot of Formula One races where the government is promoting the country or a city like Singapore or whatever, but promoting it by having those races. But Macau goes so far back. And it also this year, by the way, you know, every year I get on Twitter and you search up either hashtag Macau Grand Prix or just try to search it up anywhere and try to find the stream because their website's been just lame over the years. This year it's way, way better. In fact, you can go and watch the entire replay of the race. You can hear Jonathan's call of the entire race. And they've got all the qualifying, all the different kinds of racing, the GT racing, the motorcycle racing. You can catch it all on their website and get all of it and get it in full HD. I had it Chromecasting over to the big screen and all that. So you've got all those. All you have to do is just go to the homepage. And I think there was a quick link somewhere. It just said videos or something. But yeah, it was awesome. And I tell you what, let's do. There's two big stories. Obviously, the winner of the Formula 3 was Daniel Ticktum. And the other big story was the incredible, crazy crash that happened there that was really, it was stunning to watch. It was Sofia Flores. We'll talk about that in a minute here, but let's go ahead and play this. We got about a 3-minute interview that Jonathan did with the winner of the race, Daniel Ticktum. And you know what? Let me set it up a little bit because this is his second time to win this in a row, which is pretty unprecedented. But also going back a few years, I think it was 2015, he got banned. He had a full season or even more than that. For some activities he did during a red flag, I believe passing like 10 cars or something really crazy, something crazy dangerous, crazy silly. So, you know, he's young, and that was 3 years ago, but he's got that checkered past. I wanted to set it up a little bit because he's obviously got his act together now because he's doing fantastic. So let's hear this interview that Jonathan Green did with Daniel Ticktum about 12 hours ago.
Okay, Speed City fans, I am delighted to finally track down the winner of the Macau Grand Prix 2018 and also last year's winner as well. Back-to-back wins for Daniel Ticktum of Great Britain. Last year was somewhat odd because you came around the corner to mayhem but still crossed the line and won. This year, there was no doubting I that was as close to a perfect weekend as I've seen. How was it from your point of view?
I think the way I described the two wins, I mean, last year was more surprising and this year was more satisfying. They're both, you know, fabulous wins in their own right, but I mean, to win twice in a row and to win as dominantly, like you said, as I did this weekend, is excellent. You know, I don't think anyone's been pole win before. I don't need to check the history books. You know, I don't want to sound too cocky, but you know, I've just really tried so hard behind the scenes to work as hard as possible and get myself in the perfect mental physical state for this race.
Talk to me about that, because you said on the podium that what does it take to prepare for a race that you've already won, but you also know what you're coming into?
I think the biggest thing is after a season of, you know, fairly up and down, I mean, with more ups, I would say, than downs, you know, finishing second in the European Championship is still very positive. I think we've got a 3 or 4 week gap after that, which before Macau, and we had a big season review with all the people who have been helping me away from the track. You know, I called a meeting with Christian Horner to try and get his feedback and see if there's anything particularly he wanted me to work on. Similar stuff to what everyone else is saying has to be said. So for this race, I've just really, really tried hard to work on those key areas and come into the race, and whatever variables thrown at me, you know, the term we all use in the Tictum camp is bulletproof. So that's the way I've tried to be, and that's the way I've prepared myself this weekend. And you know, I think I found my sweet spot. So I mean, I know how to perform like this. I mean, luckily I've also been given the equipment to be able to complete such a great weekend, you know, because sometimes you don't always get the equipment. But if I drive like that in every car, maybe it's not good enough to win or whatever, overall I will get to the top and win championships. You know, that's how it's been done before, and you know, that is the way it's been done for many, many years. So still things I can improve, but a bit of fabulous opportunity for the team to give me such a great car, and thank you to them as well.
Dan Tictum, two-time winner of the Macau Grand Prix. We will be watching on Speed City and follow your progress, hopefully, towards Formula One and wherever you may be.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, he's jumps out that he's confident. I like that. I mean, you got to be confident if you're a race driver. I know that he can be a little cocky, it sounds like, but I'm glad he called himself out a little bit there too, saying just that. But obviously, this kid's a good race driver, and to win this 2 years in a row is pretty amazing, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the odds are of that, but it's got to be phenomenal. That course is so unforgiving. The slightest mistake on it will put you in a wall. We've seen that many times there. Last year, you know, Jonathan's, whatever you want to call it, you know, audio and commentary that went viral about absolute mayhem of all of these cars wrecking was just amazing to see it happen. And it's just nuts to see how tight things are all the way through that, from the time they start to the time they finish.
Yeah.
Even when they seemingly get spread out, they're still awfully close to each other.
Oh yeah. And that, I mean, that course, you're right. It is. And what you were talking about from last year is when the, when right at the beginning of the race, the GT cars, this wasn't the Formula 3 cars, it was the GT cars, is when they went around one of the bends, and it was a slow speed corner, and one of the cars crashed in front, and then the next guy hit him, and next guy hit him, and all of a sudden you look up and it was like 30 cars stacked on top of each other.
Right.
It was really crazy. And Jonathan got to call that race when that was when his famous saying, "Oh no, mayhem." I wish we had the clip, but that's all right. Actually, my producer says he might have it, so we'll see if we can get that played here in a second. But yeah.
Doesn't look as though there's major damage to the car, but we'll keep you informed as to whether... Oh, no! Oh, mayhem! And there's millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage here at the mighty Macau. And that is one of the worst GT accidents I've ever seen here. And in the place, the city that is a gamble, the lottery has absolutely come to an end. Right at the front of here is the 911, and you can see his frustration.
Are those the stock car alarms on all those Aston Martins and Ferraris?
Sounds like it. that was a harrowing accident as itself. But you know, the one that happened this week was amazing. 170 miles per hour through the traps.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So that race got to this morning, actually, got delayed for over an hour. I was watching it, and I didn't watch it live, so I was able to skip through it. But it was delayed for over an hour because Sophia Flores was traveling at 171 miles an hour. Now, this was the speed trap figure right before the Lisboa braking area, you know, where she crashed. But she was traveling 276 kilometers an hour at 171 miles an hour and went airborne. And the audio, I mean, the video clip is just astounding. She hits the car in front of her, sends her airborne, and she flies over the cars in front of her and hits the wall of what looked like a little track hospital. And it was just astounding. I mean, I've never seen the speed differential. That delta was so enormous because you had cars into the braking area that were slowing down to go, 30 miles an hour, 40, 50 miles an hour. And she flies over them like, basically, she was a passenger.
Yeah, she apparently lost control of her car, had some contact with one of the other cars. But it was when it turned backwards that things went all astray. Now, remember, the whole downforce idea is pressing down on the car when you're going forward. Well, going backwards at that speed changes everything.
Yeah.
Suddenly takes her off the ground, and she almost clears the catch fence.
Man. Well, and we're talking about this because, I want to make sure she tweeted after the race. And she says, I'm going to read this specifically. She said, just wanted to let everybody know that I'm fine. We'll be going into surgery tomorrow morning. Thanks to the FIA, the HWA team, and Mercedes-AMG who are taking great care of me. Thanks to everybody for the supporting messages. Update soon. Now, apparently, she was diagnosed with a spinal fracture after that crash. Terrifying crash is the word that keeps getting used. And I think that was, you never know with a spinal fracture. That could be something where she's just has to heal up for 6 months, or it could be worse. But based on the fact that she's tweeting and motorsport.com says she escaped without serious injury. So if she walks away from that and just with that fracture and is able to get back in a car not too long, that's going to be astounding. So, all right, guys. Well, I want to jump into our segment with Sean Walker of Hagerty Insurance, one of our sponsors. And welcome to the studio, Sean.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. And we're excited to have you. We talked about a topic before today's show, and it's something us car guys and gearheads look at in several different ways. But I want to talk about autonomous vehicles.
Yeah, autonomy is upon us, apparently. That's what you'll hear on the streets. People are talking about it a lot. I know that in my line of work, I talk to a lot of folks about a lot of things, but as of late, it's been, hey, what do you think about these like self-driving cars? I'm getting a lot of those questions.
I know we all do as gearheads. We get that same.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants our hobby to die. Nobody wants to go into an era where you can't go get into your car and drive. So we think it's going to be a good thing for the hobbyist overall. Just because in the city, first of all, it's not here. It's still, right. It's still 10 years, 5 years, 10 years out.
Who knows? I agree that it's still a ways out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we know that the idea is to, decrease congestion in,
and densely
populated areas and safety as well. So we know that the cities will shut down traffic first and say, hey, at this border, you're going to have to park your car and get into an autonomous vehicle. But what that's going to mean for the car person is that there's going to be fun stuff to go do outside of the cities in your car. So even though they may stop making some of these sedans and things that would become collectible in the future, I think that's okay too, because they don't make them like they used to.
Something that has occurred to me, I don't know if anybody's even talked about this. It's only a conversation I've had inside my own small brain. And that is, we have an aging population, right?
Right.
And one of the things, what is that? Everybody talks about the conversation with granddad about taking his keys away. Mm-hmm. Well, with the safety additions that we have today, that the braking things and the pedestrian sensors and all these things that can stop your car, accident avoidance, I guess, is the category of all those. think about how that affects that aging population. Maybe you don't have to take the car keys away. And once they're either fully autonomous or close, which we kind of already have in some of the Teslas and others, that conversation's a lot different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the driver assist, the hands-on driver assist things that are out in a lot of the luxury vehicles out today are the precursor to complete autonomy. We know that Google and Uber and all these other companies are already test driving in certain markets, Frisco, Texas being one of them. You know, so yeah, it could be, hey, we turn on the driver assist when you get to a certain age, which is a great thing in my mind. You know, and on top of that, we're going to find a way to hack it. We're going to have fun with it. You know, car guys, car people, you give it to us in one iteration and we're going to morph it into what we want to see anyway. So we'll see a lot of cool innovation come out of it. But you know what? The hobby's not going to die. Pre-war cars are still doing really well in the market. We're seeing a lot of car condo companies building around towns.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of infrastructure kind of already getting started to be ready for autonomy when it really does come on in full force here in, you know, probably a decade or so.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. And I agree, the hobby's not going to go anywhere. Us gearheads are going to find plenty of ways to have our cars.
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, Mr. Insurance Man.
Yeah.
Put on your insurance hat now. What if I don't get one of those cars? Is my old non-autonomous car going to cause me to have higher insurance rates?
You know, we don't think so. I think the less you drive it, the better off you are. And especially if you're staying away from urban, city centers, we're going to be super happy about it.
Okay.
Also, well, you know, because
I can do that.
Yeah, because of these changes, you're going to see the market go even higher up. And the cars could go the way of the horse. You know, folks still have horses, even though we don't need them. So
yeah, horse racing. Jonathan talked about that.
Horse racing. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think so. I think there's always going to be a bunch of cars out there to go buy.
Well, you guys at Hagerty Insurance can take care of all that. One of my favorite things about insuring a car, a cool car, if it's a second car, it's amazingly affordable.
Yeah.
It's not expensive at all. I think that's affordable for anybody to have second car.
For sure.
You know, even my 20-something-year-old son who's got expensive insurance because he's 20 and cool cars, a second one is really not that much more money. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially for a guy like your son who's starting off his driving career, we're the only people that'll even look at them. So yeah, for a collector vehicle.
Yep.
So.
All right, guys. Well, Sean Walker with Hagerty Insurance, we appreciate it. Now we're going to jump right into the MotoGP discussion, Les. Season finale wrapped up. Marquez wins the championship, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, a little bit of rain today, but well, what'd you think about today and the kind of a season recap, too?
You know, it was ugly. It was ugly, but you know, Jorge took a tough tumble this weekend, high-sided the first turn in one of the races. It was something else. But seasonally, I love it. It ended the way I want to see things. Honda first, Ducati second, Yamaha and Suzuki all in the top five. There was one flavor of each at least. And so I love that. Certainly I wanted Ducati a little bit higher up, which means I wanted them first. But the mix of brands was there. Nobody was absolutely dominant in those. In other words, it wasn't all Hondas in the first five spots.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of everybody. Yamaha got in twice with Vinales and Rossi. So that's the way I like racing is, you know, foster that combative spirit between brands.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that really is one of the big stories of this year because it was good to see that. I mean, look, Dovizioso winning today for Ducati. Ducati, you know, it's just amazing to think about the size of that little company compared to Honda and Yamaha and Suzuki.
Right.
And having them be competitive, that is so cool and fun and is indicative of the whole overall that you were talking about. I agree.
It, you know, I just love the mix of things. For one, because although, you know, the MotoGP bikes are a far cry from what we see in the showroom floors, there's still a lot of technology that makes it from MotoGP into here. The track control, the you know, the lap timers that are now on the Panigale V4 and a few of the other Ducatis that you can pull lap times from them, compare them. It's real neat because some of the online forums, guys are swapping lap times from tracks to compare with each other and see where they're doing better. And you can overlay maps and things like that. We saw that with the CTSV team when they were here doing it. It's really cool how much technology, as you said, we just talked about the autonomous cars. It's really cool how much this technology that is race bred is coming to the street. You know, whether it's the anti-lock brakes, the wheelies, and data mapping. I love it.
Yeah, and I love all that too, because obviously that is, there's performance to the street, but also safety to the street. I mean, it's the same thing trickle down in cars too.
Well,
but
you know, one example. So I took the new Ducati Diablo out. Hold your ears, Vito. Wasn't getting on it hard, but what did happen that any of us could do is I ran through a patch of oil. And immediately that pack tire spun. The anti-lock brake, or not the anti-lock brake, but the
traction
control took right in. That could have very easily been a really ugly situation. And I felt it each time the oil spot on the tire came around. It would give that little kick, and I'd, you know, feel the bike do something and keep me up.
And that was a Diablo.
That was the Diablo.
Yeah, I mean,
check out those
Diablos. If you think about
people.
the horse,
160 plus horsepower on the Diablo.
Yeah, and all there's a lot of bikes that have a lot of power, and with that kind of technology, it makes you feel a heck of a lot safer.
It does. It absolutely does. And so, you know, I joke about the technology. I joke about not liking the engine noise of a Tesla. But, you know, honestly, there's a lot of great things coming out of technology.
Yeah, well, MotoGP wrapped up. Can't wait to see what happens next year. And obviously, Mr. Marquez just looked...
Marquez?
I mean, all year. I mean, this race, I know he crashed out early, but for the year, he was just phenomenal. I mean, I love to see the competition, but it's also amazing to watch a guy like this. I mean, he is a legend in the making now. What is it, 5 championships in 6 years?
It's just insane.
I mean, he is just, I mean, he's approaching, dare I say, the V word, Valentino, you know. Ooh. I mean, he's got a long way to go.
Valentino's got 9. But I want to see Rossi come in for 10.
Yeah, I would love to see that. But Marquez, I mean, he's in his prime, and he's won 5 of 6. I mean,
oh yeah,
there's just no telling where he
can go.
He's
got a lot of miles left. Wrapping up the season, Marquez first with 321, Andre Dovizioso with 245. So not real close, but not way back there either. Valentino Rossi with 198, 5 points behind him is his teammate Maverick Vinales. Alex Rins at 169, Johan Zarco with 158, Crutchlow crashing his way into 148. And from there, we'll let you figure it out on MotoGP.com.
There you go. Zarco's another one that's really young, exciting one to watch. But all right, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about what happened out. We talked about the IndyCar coming to COTA, but this weekend we had the 24-hour series out at COTA, and there was a handful of people out there. I went out and hung out with those guys, and it was just awesome to have a paddock and racetrack full of cars again. They had the Cars and Coffee today, but I went out on Saturday, and I caught up with one of the guys from, Ali Dorleman from the 24-hour series. He's one of the spokespeople for it, and, you know, this is mostly private racing, but they just opened up the paddock. It was free to get in, and I just saw a handful of, you know, it wasn't a huge crowd, but I saw people kind of hanging out. It was a great weather day, and I want to play a clip that we did with Ollie. Just it goes a kind of an overview of the series, what it's all about. So let's hear from Ollie Dorleman with the 24-hour series.
Well, our philosophy is based on gentleman driver focus. So what we basically say, we do it for the gentlemen. The pros, semi-pros, they're allowed to join, but they need to adapt to the whole atmosphere that we have in the paddock, that this is racing for fun with friends, and if you're lucky, you end up with a trophy in the end.
You've got the prototype class as well.
Yes, the prototypes is something we just recently started. So it's a project that we are growing at the moment. Our history rather comes from touring cars and GT machinery. But the prototypes, it's something we are willing to grow in the future.
Well, that's pretty exciting to have that level too. But obviously the heart of the program is the street-based automobiles. But so talk about some of the cars and some of the classes.
Our classes are very diverse. You can imagine anything from an GT3 AMG car up until a small cup class for touring cars all running together in the same race. What is very important in this philosophy is the respect the drivers have to each other on the track, and respecting one another. It's just so crucial with these speed differences that we're having in our series. You have a lot of times overtaking faster cars, overtaking slower cars. So it's crucial to have this respect and the entire atmosphere amongst each other, which we managed to create over the last decade.
Ollie, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and really exciting to have you guys here.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure.
I hope you're listening with some either some good headphones or a good subwoofer in your car, because in the background you could hear those big V8s, the Mercedes-AMG GTs, and you could hear them rumbling in the background. But that's a pretty cool series, huh?
Oh yeah, you know, I love that series because it's so approachable, and you'll just get out and get to really mix in with the drivers and the mechanics, all of that right there. It is a lot of fun, and they do it after dark too.
I'm looking at one of those photos, Coda at night. Oh, it is just so awesome when World Endurance Championship came here and raced right into the night. But yeah, the 24-hour series tweeted out some photos. I didn't stay into the night, but it's just so gorgeous. We need to have more night racing at Coda.
Hey, I'm game for
it. We just need to have more racing at Coda.
I'm game. Let's do it.
Yeah, but check it out. It's, let's see, the 24HSeries.com. Check them out. And if you've got the resources, they've got the fun, because they go all over the globe and do this. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we're going to have a Triple Crown winner. Triple Crown? Triple Cross.
Triple Cross.
Dang it, I got it wrong again. Triple Cross winner. We're going to have Brian Korn calling in, some Rallycross driving. So listen to Speed City live in Austin, back after these messages.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Brianne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility. Online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new Radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Hey, this is Clint Boyer, and you've been listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
NASCAR driver Clint Boyer.
Yeah.
Gotta like that. Hey, I want to thank everybody that downloads our show after we do the radio show. We always put it out on our website, Speed City Broadcast, but it also goes out to several podcast platforms, including iTunes and Stitcher, and I don't even know where else it is. It's an RSS feed that goes to all over the the globe, maybe interstellar, I don't know. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And if you like the show on iTunes, go out there and give us a thumbs up or a five-star or whatever you get out on iTunes. But hey, I want to talk about the event that's coming up. We're doing a monthly event. You may have heard in the break, Cellus Brewery. And we have an event there the 4th.
That's right.
The 4th Wednesday.
It'll be the 28th.
Yep, yes. The 28th of this month. It's a car show. And it's hanging out at the brewery and hanging out looking at cool cars.
Yeah.
And
I'll say it's not a car show in the way that people are going to be there judging. Come out, hang out. There's some really cool cars there, cool people. You know, like our next guest. But it's cool because I'll say you're not going to show up and there's going to be 40 of the same car sitting there.
No, I mean, we've had everything out there. We've had Ferrari Dinos. We've had R32,
yep.
Skyline GTRs. We've had, you know, all the muscle cars. We've had
some of the Shelby Cobra was out there.
Yep.
Anyway.
It goes on and on, and it's
like that.
And it's not a huge, giant event yet, anyway, but it's a really cool event, and you come hang out with us out there, come hang out. You never know who's going to be there, by the way. We've had at least one world champion. Kevin Schwantz showed up one time.
Schwantz showed up. Well, wait a minute. Price Cobb came out. Talking Porsche earlier. So yeah.
I think Willie T. Ribbs is going to try to make it once or twice.
Yeah, so, yeah. And what's her name? Brianne Korn.
I've heard of her
a few times. Okay, if you haven't heard Brianne, for one, you just heard about Lone Star Rallycross in that last commercial break. This is awesome. Brianne has earned so many national titles. It's just crazy. She has won the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. She has won SCCA Solo Cross. She has won SCCA Rallycross. She's done quite a few others, but recently she was just recognized for accomplishing what's really a premium recognition, the Triple Cross of Rallycross. Brianne Korn, welcome back to Speed City.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brianne. Congrats on the cross.
Congrats. Yeah, it's amazing.
Man, that is so awesome, and you know we love it. You're just down the road here, but why don't you explain to the audience a little more detail about what the Triple Cross is?
Well, the Triple Cross is a special award SCCA gives out to anyone who has competed in and won in the same class a regional event, a national challenge, and the national championship in rallycross.
Awesome. That's
so pretty much anybody that races has seen the taillights of Brianne Korn.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll talk about some of those individual events. I guess that's obviously an incredible accomplishment.
Well, yeah, no, it was a pretty amazing year. I had the opportunity to go out and race with Peter Dozeman in California, and he's like, you need to come by and check out the car I raced last year. And I stopped over in Phoenix and walked into his garage and looked down, and I said to myself, if I'm driving this car, I'm pretty sure I can win a national championship.
Nice.
And so he and I sat down and talked, and we put a deal together, and I drove that car in all three of the national challenges. We went to Florida, we went to New York, and we went and raced at Dirtfish in Washington State as well, and managed to, despite having some trials and tribulations along the way, we won all three races, and then came back to Iowa and won the championship in the same car. So,
you know, I was thinking about what you do, and if you ask, I know this has come up before, Formula One drivers, IndyCar drivers, NASCAR drivers, you ask them what kind of racing they might want to try. Rallycross driving is always on their
always
list.
Always in the mix.
Yeah, always. In fact, typically pretty high up on the list because it looks like so much fun besides being obviously competitive now.
Yes. No, it's kind of been building in the States. You know, this is something they've been doing since the 60s in Europe. It's still kind of new to people around here and really new to the Texas people. The East Coast and West Coast have been playing for a little while. But, it's building steam, and now we've taken on the wheel-to-wheel rallycross in the United States with GRC and now ARX, and then combining again with the FIA World Rallycross, which is what I'm really hoping to become involved with maybe next year. Hopefully I'll get to run out of COTA with them next year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we went out. We were out there. Jonathan was calling the races. I sat in and helped him out a little bit. And, you know, they were down there, turn 15, where they've added, where you go from asphalt to dirt and over the jumps. And, that was a really cool addition to racing at Coda.
I was going
to
say, Brian, didn't you get a test drive there?
Yeah, after the last FIA race, rallycross race, Dirtfish invited me out and let me do some testing in one of their cars. So I'm hoping I might put together a program for next year, and we'll see what happens.
Awesome.
But I'll tell you what, those cars and that jump, it's so much fun. We had a local series running out there when no one else was there. That would be a lot of fun.
Novel idea. I think they've already heard that song from me. Hey, absolutely. But, you know, in the meantime, we got to talk a little bit about Lone Star Rallycross. Tell us about your place and how folks can get involved in it.
Well, we started building a track out here probably about 7 years ago, and we've been running for about 5 years with Lone Star Rallycross. My brother manages the series, and I help with the track, and we kind of have a whole family thing. Mom and Dad come out and help put on the event, and we even have rental cars if you don't want to break your own car, which you probably want, but most people are concerned. They're like, it looks kind of crazy. And once they go out and try one of my cars, they usually come back with their own the next time. And but it's real easy. It's real easy to get into. It's probably one of the lowest barrier to entry motorsports that you can find in anywhere. $50 entry fee. Most of the people race a car they drive to work on Monday. I think you may have heard that before.
There's a testament.
And but there are a few people, it's starting to pick up speed, and people are starting to make long-term plans about what they're going to be racing, and more developed cars are showing up every year. Cars are just a little more developed, and the mod classes are starting to get tighter and harder, harder competition, I guess you could say.
Well, I love it.
I love it that we've got, I mean, in Austin now, I mean, think about in the Austin area, think about any kind of cool racing, driving, whatever. And this is just another aspect of that. It's really cool, Brian. That's amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, you know, it couldn't happen to a cooler person. We've known Brian quite a while. She rode motorcycle in the Pikes Peak Hill Climb. She did the car before it was 100% paved. You're like, I don't know what, female ninja warrior motocross, you know, motorsport girl here.
Well, I have a passion for the sport, and any opportunity I have to get behind the wheel or grab a hold of a set of handlebars, I take it.
Fantastic. Folks, be sure and check out LoneStarRallyCross.com to check out Brian's area and come down and participate. Watch it. It's a really cool event. And, you know, let's help get Brian into the big leagues next year. If y'all have an interest in sponsoring or being part of that, feel free to reach out to Speed City. And we'll make sure and get you connected with Brianne. Brianne, congrats again, and thanks for coming back to Speed City and telling us all the good news. And we'll see you after the holidays.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Brianne. See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hometown girl gone big.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Formula One. You know, if you've been listening to Speed City, you know, we do a pre and post race show nationally. So you got to go to our website, check it out, speedcitybroadcast.com. And you can hear, you can find out where to listen to our pre and post show for every Formula One race. And we're going to continue to do that next year. Really excited about that, fired up about that. And I just want to talk a little Formula One stories. You know, we haven't really talked about it locally lately, is that, you know, the Haas team signed up a huge name anyway. Pietro Fittipaldi will help the Haas Formula One team next year. So he's a 2017 Formula V8 3.5 champion. And it's really interesting. I was just reading an article that I want to talk about. It's where they're looking at this kind of as a way to address a weakness, they would call it, with its simulator use. And they reckon the team's race driver they have with Romain Grosjean. You know, obviously there's so much simulator use in the in motorsports in general, but particularly in Formula One. And here's a quote from Romain Grosjean. It says, "We need some help in the team, especially on the simulator side," says Grosjean. It says, "It'd be good to have him. He will have a taste of the car in Abu Dhabi, obviously the last race season here, and he can jump in the simulator and work on the correlation and when we get it." And so he says, we're still working on plans and making sure we get better at it, at simulations. The correlation is the trickiest part to get at and the one you need to get right away before you do any setup work. He said, it's been okay. We didn't be able to work with it, but with race drivers, it's hard to go between races. It's pretty exciting to have a driver like, you know, with his success, with his name associated with the Haas team. And they decided when they signed him up that here's a quote from Gunther Steiner. "We talked again, decided to use him for next year for testing and simulator development because they need to get better." And it says, because we are young, as in a young Formula One team. It's,
you bet.
Yeah, obviously. It says, we need to find areas to improve. That's why next year we decided to have a program where our simulator program is as good as possible. So on Friday, we can test setups and aero developments and put them in first with Pietro on the simulator and just get better. That's a cool story. And just, dude, if you just search up Haas F1 Pietro Fittipaldi, you'll find that story. But I do want to say, preface a little bit about what we're going to talk about on our Formula One show next week. We got the season finale, but I've been studying up on the 2019 rules and how they are, and how they came to be, and how they are really kind of a mini step towards the 2021 rules. So if you have
Alrighty.
Any, a lot of that has to do with computational fluid dynamics, as they say, but aero, in other words.
Thanks, so, Mr. Know-It-All.
So check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.